Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Boomer and the Vape Show, giving voice to 78 million boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Each day we have a different guest and a different topic. Our guests always have a nugget or two for anyone, regardless of where you are. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now, here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And yes, indeed, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's Wednesday, September 22nd, 2010, and we are broadcasting from the Boomer and the Babe Enterprises studio in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be getting to our guest in just a minute. Before we do that, I always like to invite people to go to our website at www.boomerandthebabe.com, sign up for our free online magazine, and take a little look around and see some of the other things that the Boomer and the Babe Enterprises are involved in. We've got all kinds of projects and products that we offer, and we'd like to have you involved with them if you have a need for any of them. And I'm Pete Peters.
And I'm Deborah Brown.
And today's guest is Mr. Paul Herman. Mr. Paul Herman is the executive director of the Sun City Visitor Center here in Sun City, Arizona, one of the original Del Webb retirement communities in the country. Mr. Herman is also a Boomer Series book author that he is penning his book pretty much as we speak, and he's going to have his own show here on Boomer and the Babe Network on Blog Talk as well. Paul, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Well, you've been on our show before when we had the terrestrial radio show, and now we're going to have this, we're doing this big thing over Blog Talk, and the nice thing about Blog Talk and the way it really fits in for what you do is that you have a national approach to whatever you do with your particular area there in Sun City as far as a visitor center, and you talk to people all over the world that talk to you and are interested in knowing more about what the Del Webb experience is all about, but you also are quite an expert in the boomer situation and what's developing with the boomers, and I know that Del Webb just did a big report on that, a big study on that. We're going to get into that in a little while, but before we do that, Deborah, do you have a couple things to get us going with Paul?
Well, I always like to get that two-minute movie on the record, and by that I mean tell us a little bit about your life and, you know, where you started out and how you got here. So welcome to the show.
Gee, thanks, Deborah. I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. That's where I was born and raised. I've done a lot of traveling since then with different jobs and everything from selling insurance many years ago to being in retail, Christian camping, you name it. And I finally, I think, found my niche when I got to this visitor center thing in Sun City, where I enjoy meeting people and talking about what's happening and looking at all these changes that are going on. One of the things, and Pete alluded to it, is Sun City, we are 50 years old here, and the world still looks to this community because we were the first planned active retirement community built anywhere in the world. So just this past week, I had 19 here from Austria trying to learn about how the community began and what's happening with it, because the whole world has a senior population situation. It's not just unique to the United States.
And when you say senior population situation, I'm hearing the word situation as challenge.
Yeah,
is that right?
And more so for the rest of the world, in a sense, because the rest of the world right now is back where we were in 1959, prior to Del Webb opening this community here. Basically, old people's homes. People get old, you put them into a home. So the Del Webb concept of an active retirement and this retirement worth looking forward to was a total new concept, and it is to the rest of the world right now.
I really had not put that together until you're just saying that to me. I did not, and as much work as I do in boomerdom is what I call it. Pete and I have dubbed the boomer experience boomerdom, which is, of course, a state of mind, not a place. But, you know, maybe we have in America and maybe in Europe a little different picture of boomerdom, I think is what you're saying. And, you know, the days of putting grandma out on the ice floe and pushing her out in the river and letting her float off and be gone, that doesn't happen anymore. It can't happen.
No. It's we look at our community here, which started in January 1st, 1960, and our neighboring community, Youngtown, was actually opened as a retirement community, I believe it was 6 years before Sun City. But all it was a retirement community. There was no activities planned. It was just homes where basically retired people would move to, sit on their front porch on their rocker, and have a nicer climate to die in than an old people's home. So the activity is the thing that Del Webb brought to the equation, which now the world is looking at. And they come here with no idea of even how to get something like that started.
Well, if you think about it, we're living so much longer. You know, I think Del Webb was quite the visionary to decide that there were going to be people that really had to have lots of activities to look forward to when they hit retirement age. Well, first of all, there's several things that are happening. We're living longer, but also retirement age has moved. I mean, there's all kinds of issues when we talk about what your book is going to be called, the boomers are coming, the boomers are coming. It's sort of like, okay, the boomers are definitely coming to a city near you, and what are we doing with them? You know, what's going to happen? So how has it changed? What is happening in this 50-year-old community that you're holding up as the example for the rest of the world?
Well, one of the things is we're trying to reexamine that right now with our long-range planning, because this is not the same retirement community it was when your grandparents moved here in 1960. We're into third-generation retirees right now. And it's kind of funny because one of the comments on the with the Del Webb Boomer survey was that boomers' opinion is that old age officially begins at 80.
Oh, geez.
Which is kind of comical because somebody sent me an email a while back, and it's talking about 100 years ago, the year 1910. And the first thing they mention on there that the average life expectancy of a man in 1910 was 47 years of age.
Right.
Now we're looking at retirement starting, or old age officially being 80. You've almost doubled in 100 years what we're looking at as far as life expectancy. So obviously that's going to be changing retirement too.
Well, in my research and in my writings, I've actually put a lot of thought into that as well. And the fact is, you know, we're going to stretch the idea of middle age from something in the 40s all the way to 73, 74. So you're absolutely right when somebody says old age starts at 80. That makes perfect sense to me. I understand that completely. But what I also know is that you have people who are in their 80s and 90s and 100s in this community who look at the boomers coming in as those crazy kids, you know, coming in and changing the way it's always been. Are you having problems with that or issues with that?
Well, it isn't as big an issue as we thought it would be. I think one of the things was we just started a new club here in Sun City. We're calling it the Next Gen rather than calling it Boomers, because Boomers were actually dictated by 1946 to 64. So what we're looking at is with this club is anybody can join this club. But to be a voting member of the club, you have to be under 67. And 67 was picked by the guys who started this thing from the standpoint of that's when we're looking at, in another year, I guess it is, 100% Social Security. So what we want to do is keep this club an active club that will be directed by the youngest people to move into Sun City from this point on. So that it's always going to be reflecting the ideas of the next generation, hence the name Next Gen, coming into our community. So we're looking at how can we best not only keep our older people in mind, because we've got, as you said, we've got 130 people in round figures, over 100 living in Sun City. I know of one lady in one of our life care communities that's actually 108, and her mind is as sharp, if not sharper, than mine.
That's what? Amazing. A 108-year-old person. I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
I'm looking, Paul, I'm looking right now at some of these, because we're kind of talking about these boomers and next geners and so on and so forth. Some of the key trends in the boomers working in retirement, and retirement is in quotes, and that's out of the Del Webb study. And as I go down on that page a little bit, I see that today's 50-year-old boomer anticipates retiring 4 years later than what has been commonplace, I guess you could say. Compared to the 50-year-olds of 1996, today's 50-year-old plans to retire a median of 4 years later, meaning 67 rather than 63. Now, that's assuming that they're going to retire. But I suggest that a lot of us, me, are not going to be retiring.
Well, I think what we're looking at is, and I think one of the things that's pushing that age, as I said, a lot of people are not going to be eligible for 100% Social Security. I'm at the 66 range, and it's about to go to 67 for some people. We've also gotten to a point where pensions are pretty much a thing of the past. So if you're looking at retiring and you're going to be living off of Social Security plus your investments, and some of the reports you read on how prepared boomers are for retirement based on investments is kind of a scary situation too. So I think that's one of the things that's dictating how long people are going to be working. The other thing is what that work is going to look like, because I think one of the things is I chaired the Governor's Advisory Council on Aging a year ago, and we're looking at almost to a point where the word retirement is being retired. It's taking on a whole new meaning because retirement isn't what it used to be.
Well, I think that's exactly correct. And here again, I'll refer back to this same page that I'm looking at in front of me. It says among young boomers, 72% plan to work. For older boomers not yet retired, 74% plan to work. And in the 1996 survey, 68% of the 50-year-olds said they plan to work. So that has jumped significantly from anywhere from 4 to 6 or 8% more people planning to work in what is supposedly retirement. And I think it's exactly for the reasons that you were mentioning, and also the case where people realize that because of the health situations and the fact that they are, generally speaking, in good health for a longer period of time, that if they were to retire, it's entirely possible that they would outlive their money.
That's it. That's one of the big things. My wife and I were at a seminar about a month ago, and one of the questions was, what are you looking for with your retirement? And my wife, I think, hit a number or a comment that a lot of people are looking at. She says, I just want to know that when I retire, I'm not going to have to worry about having to go back to work in the future. If I retire today, I want to know that I'm taken care of. Now, myself, I just turned 65 years old. Gosh, I don't want to make it any worse. But I was excited about that one. Now Medicare starts picking up some of my bills anyhow. But I was looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to continuing on working because I enjoy what I'm doing. It's totally different than what I did prior to coming here. Now, I've been at the visitor center going on 9 years, but I was involved in construction and all kinds of things. So one of the things we're looking at with boomers retiring now is they might be retiring from that high-pressure sales job they had for most of their career, looking to get into something that's a little bit easier on them, get rid of the stress. So that's one of the things with the council when we're trying to educate businesses. When you get this, let's say 65-year-old, whatever it is, turning in a resume, and the person in the HR office is looking at it and saying, and this guy happens to be in his 20s, why does this 65-year-old want to come to work for us? He's overqualified and everything else. They need to be able to talk to that person and say, why are you here? And a lot of times they're going to say, I'm tired of being the guy with 100 people under me that I have to manage. I want to be one of those under people where I can go home at the end of the day and I don't worry about a thing. So the whole concept is being changed. The other thing that's really, I think, playing into where we're at right now is that it's causing a lot of concern for people is we've now got three generations in the workforce. And all three of these generations are totally different, have totally different motivations.
That's absolutely right. When you stop and think about it, that's very, very true. And that causes problems in the workforce. It causes distinct problems, and has to do with the very thing you were saying. The HR guy is 25, 35 years old, looking at the 65-year-old that's coming in and giving him a resume or talking to him over the table and saying they're talking to their son or in some cases their grandson or granddaughter and asking them to put them to work for the company that this guy behind the desk is operating with, and it's just completely flipped and upside down, and there has to be a lot of, Deborah, you'd have the better word. Maybe there's a counseling thing almost that has to be involved in something like that.
I was going to say training, certainly, because, you know, there has to be a respect and a mutual understanding of what the goals are and, you know, how people fit in. But I think you're right, Paul, to point out that the reason that somebody might want to come and do some different work is they've already been there, done that in their first iteration or their 12th iteration of themselves or reinvention of themselves, and now they're ready for something that's not stressful, not the one in charge, but still they want to stay relevant, they want to keep, you know, busy, and they've still got a lot to contribute.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things that we're being hurt with here is if all of our boomers would go into retirement as they're talking about, as people are projecting, we're going to be hurting in the workforce in a big way. We don't have engineers backing up engineers that are retiring right now. So we need these people to hang around. And even if they cut back to a part-time type position, which is some part of the educational aspect too, hey, Mr. Smith, we don't have anybody to take your job when you retire. Would you hang around part-time and help us train somebody to follow up with your position? The brain drain would be huge if these 78 million boomers all actually retired.
Don't they call that also institutional knowledge? You know, the institutional knowledge in all of the disciplines and all of the genres of business, if the entire layer of people 50 years old and up just left. Where's all the information?
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
So tell me, is there a word that people are starting to hope maybe could replace the word retirement? You said you were talking about that a little while ago.
I think a lot of people are going to be re-careering, if you wanted to use that term. Because of just want to get change. They want to stay active. They want to stay involved. One of the things we're looking at, too, that's affecting us, Sun City is referred to as the City of Volunteers. But if you look back to the 60s and 70s, everybody who was moving here, a couple things. They were coming from single-income families. The wife, for the most part, was used to being the stay-at-home mom. She was involved in volunteering at church and school throughout her whole life. Now we're coming in with dual income retirees coming in, and both of them are, nobody's really accustomed to the volunteer aspect the way it was years ago. So what I'm finding with boomers coming here, a lot of them don't want to do the stuff the envelope, answer the telephone type volunteering. They're more project oriented in what they're looking for. So even in the volunteer aspect, things are changing.
Well, Deborah and I did a thing at Rios a lot of adult learning, I don't know, a year ago. And we talked about that very situation. And we had a class of, oh, I don't remember what it was, Deborah, 20 maybe, all retired seniors, not boomers, seniors. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because the topic that we were talking about boomers. And one of the topics, subtopics that we were talking about was volunteerism. And, boy, I tell you, those people in that class were adamant about the fact that the boomers just don't want to volunteer. They just don't want to do this. They don't want to roll up their sleeves, and they don't want to pick the ornamental oranges that have fallen off the trees, and they don't want to go out and do this and do that. And I said, well, wait a minute, folks. Let's stop and realize something, that the boomers are still working. They may be living in this retirement community, but they're still working. They still have networking events they go to. They have a job that they go to, or they're operating a business out of their home, a home-based business, or whatever it might be. They're still working. So they realize that there's a need for that activity, picking up the oranges off the ornamental trees that have fallen down and so on and so forth. But what they're going to do, rather than volunteering for that in some cases, is they're going to write the check to have somebody else do it. And that is something that is just so foreign to some of the seniors, the greatest generation people. It's just terribly foreign to them because they always were the ones that they roll up their sleeves and went and did it themselves. And there is that kind of a divide, that kind of a philosophical divide, I think, and then that starts to pay off into the workforce. And then when you start adding the boomers' kids that are involved, boy, I mean, the boomers really are the sandwich generation in many, many ways.
Yes, definitely. One of the things you mentioned was the working concept. We recently did a survey here in Sun City, and my numbers are showing that we have over 20% of our residents are now working for a living or looking for work, either full-time or part-time. So that's affecting the number of people that can volunteer here. It's also affecting how we're doing things because we're really encouraging. We've got 120-plus clubs here in the community. We're encouraging, hey, guys, you have to be open at nighttime now because if our residents, and that number to me is going to keep growing, where we're going to have more and more people working, living here. If you're working 9 to 4 or even part-time, you don't make it into clubs during the day. You're looking for evening hours to keep things active as far as your retirement activities after your working day.
Well, it's interesting because that is, I do believe, very true, and as witnessed by the fact that we used to be a member of one of the golf clubs here in the area, and the New Year's Eve celebration, they had a 9 o'clock New Year's toast for the older set, and then they had a 12 o'clock New Year's toast for those of us that were the diehards, and we wanted to be there when New Year's actually struck. It's interesting because they have to be able to accommodate both.
Yeah, you can't leave one behind. And we're starting to see it with our churches also. The church I go to this past week just instituted the two different type services, the early service being the traditional service with the older hymns and things, and then the second service being more of the hymns and choruses and stuff designed for the younger people. You can't forget one or the other. You've got to be able to adapt to both of them.
I'd like to go back to that New Year's Eve party just briefly, and what I recall is that only about 10 to 15% of the people actually left at 9 o'clock, and the older folks were still dancing and having fun and carrying on until midnight struck. So you've got things that have changed. You know, people have different lifestyles and than you maybe expect. In other words, you would think that they would all leave, right? Well, they didn't. They didn't. They stayed and they danced and they had fun. So, I don't know. I think we're going to have to just stay open and, you know, notice what's happening and then accommodate along the way. Otherwise, we're all going to drive ourselves completely insane.
Well, this community, for so many years, people would laugh at it. They said at 6 o'clock, they just fold up the sidewalks and everybody goes home. And those are the things that are changing and the misconceptions that we have to get people to realize that's not the way it is any longer. One of the things you look at with some of the older people, they don't like going out at night because of eye problems as far as driving. But even there, we're not that big a community. We're 7 miles north to south and everything else. So people were realizing people will do it. If it's an interesting program,
right,
they will come out for it.
Right. They'll figure out a way to get there. Well, the other thing is when you're talking about taking this show on the road, you know, so that people in other parts of our country and around the world can institute some planned active retirement kinds of programs or, you know, plans as far as whether or not you've got a walkable community, whether or not you've got activities like you've been talking about that are of interest. What are the kinds of things that people really love here? I know there's a lot of golf, but that's not available everywhere around the world, but there's certainly golf here. And what else is stimulating here, do you think?
Right now, the thing we're really starting to push are, and it's a lot of it's based on this boomer survey. Del Webb got away from them for about 5 years when they were bought out by Pulte Homes. Now, this is the first one they did probably in the last 5 years. But the older surveys, golf and that type thing and clubs and stuff was high on the list. That's no longer high on the list. There's three things people are looking for now based on this latest boomer survey, and that was cost of living, they want health care, and they also want to have fitness. So fitness is much higher, and golf is way down at the bottom of the list. So that's one of the reasons Sun City's opened up our golf courses to the outside community to start generating some additional income that way. And once again, it's because a lot of the people are working. They aren't here golfing three times a week the way the totally retired people were. So those numbers aren't going to change a whole lot. But I think we're focusing now on the core values that our boomers are looking for. And once again, cost of living, this community is the best value to be found. And I'll stack it up against anybody. The second one, healthcare, we have Banner Boswell Hospital right here in our community, along with any doctor you could possibly want or look for. And then the fitness centers, we are in the process, the one we have here at the Bell Recreation Center where my office is located is a state-of-the-art facility. It's less than 4 years old or right around 4 years old now. And we're totally rebuilding another one of our fitness centers, an entire recreation center for that matter, down on the south end of town that will have a equally state-of-the-art facility along with an indoor jogging track and a lap pool and walking pool and everything else. So we're trying to look to what the boomers are looking for and take care of those needs because it has changed from what it was.
A few years ago...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, a few years ago, the AARP came out with their yearly list of the top 10 cities or the top 5 cities that boomers are looking to move to or enjoying or whatever, and Chandler, Arizona, was number 5. Well, Chandler is not even a retirement community, but what they offer is those walking communities, walking trails, easy access, lots of activities. There's something there in Chandler that is attractive. Of course, the other thing is boomers still have kids, so there was that. So this community is not... you can't have children in here at all, correct?
Correct. Yeah, nobody can live here under the age of 19 because one of the nice things here is we don't have any schools and we also don't pay school taxes. So that's a real plus.
Right. Huh. Well, I think that people are going to have a hard time recreating this community, but they can certainly... Well, this is the only one like it, right? There is no other exactly like this Del Webb property or this Del Webb community.
Correct. Now, one of the things, being the first, is always nice, but at the same time, it has its drawbacks because we're totally built out. We're totally surrounded now by additional cities, Peoria, Glendale, Youngtown, Surprise. So we don't have any room to expand. We're looking at in the 60s and 70s, we were 30 miles, 35 miles from downtown Phoenix, let's say 30 miles, and there was absolutely nothing around us. We're now surrounded by these cities. But when we were built, and we have 16 strip shopping centers within our community. We don't need 16 strip shopping centers anymore. And when you're looking at the new communities being developed by Pulte, Del Webb, or Robeson Communities, or the others, there's virtually no shopping in those communities at all. They're maximizing the land for home sales, which is where they make their money, which is understandable. But at the same time, they're able, as they're building now, to adapt to some of these newer things, like the jogging tracks and the trails and the green belts and stuff like that. We're also sitting with, we have 8 golf courses, which is marvelous if you're a golfer. There's 5 regulation and 3 executive, and then on top of that, we have 3 country clubs. But golf isn't a big deal anymore. But the way we were set up, all of our golf courses, except for one, have to remain golf courses into perpetuity. Now, the one golf course we have is a 9-hole course that as of 10 years ago, we can change into something else. So the Recreation Center of the Sun City just recently put a questionnaire online asking our residents, what would you like that to be if we changed it from being a golf course? And we've had people here looking for a dog park. We've had people here looking for an outdoor jogging trail or walking paths, a playground where when your grandkids do come and visit, because we don't restrict you, you can have your grandkids come and spend 90 days a year with you. They could be here the whole summer if you wanted them. Personally, I have 10 grandkids, so I'd have to have my head examined if I invited them all for the whole summer. But would we be
well? If you didn't have to have it examined, if you didn't have to have it examined before you did it, you certainly would have to have it examined after you did it. That's for sure.
Definitely, Pete. Definitely. But we're looking at possibly would we put in one of those fountain type parks where you could take the grandkids over with playgrounds and things like that? Would we want a skateboarding area? So those are things we're looking at because we want to respond to the needs of the current residents, but at the same time, look toward the future with future people moving in.
Well, I myself now as a younger resident, and Deborah and I as younger residents of Sun City, as were my parents when they came here. My dad retired at age 55, and by 57 he was living here in Sun City. They were living here in Sun City. With the traditional retirement being he played golf 3-4 times a week. My mother volunteered in various organizations and went to classes and did pottery and did line dancing and all those types of things that is the retirement lifestyle that many seniors are still living. But when I moved here now, when my granddaughters came over to visit all of us here at the house just this last weekend, we had to entertain them here. Other than taking out the oldest one out on a golf cart ride around the block, there were no splash pads, there were no fountains, there were no slides, there were no parks for them. And I would imagine that that might be an interesting thing to have. I mean, if they're going, let's go out and visit Grandma and Grandma Deb and Grandpa Pete and Grandma Vivian, and we're going to go and we're all going to go to the park. That might not be a bad way to go. How much interest is there in that particular item?
Well, those are the things. The survey just went out earlier this week, as a matter of fact. I got it on Friday. So it'll be interesting to see what the results are in the next month before we have our next long-range planning committee meeting and see what happens along those lines. Then the other thing is the dollars and cents to make it happen. So
right.
One of the neat things with this community that I tell prospective residents about all the time, once again, I mentioned earlier, we're a great value, but we're now approaching 51 years old. And in 51 years, there has never been a special assessment charged to a resident to pay for something. And the other thing is we don't go into debt for anything. Until the money's in the bank, it doesn't get done. I doubt if there's a community or a city anywhere else in this country that could make those two claims.
No.
No, I wouldn't imagine. I wouldn't imagine there would be.
Absolutely not.
I'm interested. I'm looking at this other sheet that I printed off of the Dell website, and some of these things we've already touched on in our conversation. But the one was about what they call sunblock. Today's retirees have more than weather in mind when relocating. It used to be the case, apparently, where they wanted sunshine, they wanted warmth, and so on and so forth. But today, that does not play as large a factor, apparently, according to the survey with Del Webb. Are you finding that to be the case here, that weather plays less a role?
I believe so. Their survey was interesting. It kind of surprised me. The two cities that rank tops as far as the number of retirees, if they're planning on relocating, and that's the other question too. How many retirees are actually going to look forward to relocating? So those numbers are kind of up in the air right now, and a lot of it has to do with work. Right now, relocation is, in a sense, out of the question if you're planning on continuing to work just because of the state of the economy nationwide. You're not going to quit a job where you are and then try to find something someplace else because it's not there at this point in time. But the two cities the two states that rank number one and two on their survey are North and South Carolina.
Wow. That is surprising.
And we were, I think Arizona was, I think, seventh or eighth on that list. So why is that happening? I don't know. Personally, I like our weather out here. I'll put up with our 2 months of super hot weather and for the other 10 months that I know are going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Right.
And for the most part, I don't have to worry about earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, or anything else that the rest of the country puts up with from time to time. So
I have lived in South Carolina. I lived in Beaufort, South Carolina, which is, not very far from Savannah, Georgia, as a matter of fact. So that's in that area. And I remember one of the Christmases that I lived there being in a short-sleeved blouse walking around at the harbor. So it is beautiful there. It's absolutely fantastic. And the weather is great.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I do. But I am surprised.
Yeah. Well, two things that have a big influence on me when I start thinking about southeast, getting down to that area, even Florida and stuff, humidity and bugs. And those are two things we don't have out here.
Every now and then
you get a fly in your house and you wonder where it came from. You look down the block, somebody must have moved in and brought it with them from wherever they're moving.
those darn transients bringing those flies in here. Absolutely.
I want to say something about the book that you're starting to work on, which I'm very excited about. You are in the Boomer series as one of the Boomer series authors, and your contribution is called The Boomers Are Coming, The Boomers Are Coming. And it's going to be all about the very things we've been talking about today, the trends and how retirement communities are going to have to kind of shift a little bit and be ready to receive us, if you will, or incorporate our needs into communities where we're not leaving, we're just going to keep, retire in place. So I'm very excited about it because it's such an important topic. There's only 78 million baby boomers in the U.S., so I think people need to know what's going to happen.
and the funny thing is when you're talking about the boomers, we talk about them as a single group of people, and 46 to 64 is such a large span of people in years. You're almost looking at early boomers, mid boomers, and late boomers.
Yes.
And even within the boomer classification, there's discrepancy as far as what they're looking for.
Right, and that has to do with the psychographic instead of the demographic. In other words, there's lifestyle issues There are all the ways that people have lived up until this point in life, you know, and what their expectations are for the golden years, whenever those happen, when they're 80. So, yeah, it's not cut and dried. It's layers and layers and layers of information.
Right, right. And I think that's the thing, as you're saying, the layers, like the analogy of an onion, you're just peeling them back. And at this point in time, I don't think anybody knows exactly what's in the center of this thing. So everybody's going to be playing it by ear for quite some time and doing the best they can. But a lot of it's going to have to be done by surveys and questions and being willing to make the changes as are needed. And
right.
When you're looking at a community like Sun City, and some businesses for that matter too, change is a four-letter word.
Yes, it is.
People don't like the change.
And it doesn't make any difference what age you are either. That change is that four-letter word. I think you're absolutely right, Paul. And when you start talking about the 78 million baby boomers, well, that in and of itself is problematic because the baby boomer cohort, as it were, does not want to be called the baby boomer cohort, generally speaking.
That's right.
They don't want to be called baby boomers. It has a less than wonderful connotation to some. Some are just thinking, oh, you're a baby boomer. That means that you're an acid head, and it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and you went all to the rock concerts and whatever. And then somebody else will think, oh, you're nothing but a bunch of war protesters, and you all went off to Canada. And whatever the case might be, there's all kinds of, as Deborah says, psychographics as regards the term baby boomer. And some people just absolutely cringe from that term, and they have quite a less than wonderful reaction when you talk about baby boomers. And then when you start talking about, you throw politics into it, and you start realizing how many of these politicians are baby boomers, and you go, oh my gosh, they're just really screwing things up, whoever they are, right or left. And all of a sudden, you want to stay away from that term.
Yeah, definitely. As retirement is changing, so is that term. When you're looking at, and that's why I kind of think back to the very beginning of our program when, Deborah, you made the comment about you used the term boomerdom. I'd like to see what your definition of boomerdom is because of those same things Pete was just talking about. We're looking at people. I think boomer is something that the oldest boomers, the 46, 47, 48, might enjoy.
That's me.
When you're getting into the Vietnam era and beyond that, I think that's where people are saying, wait a minute, I wasn't that.
Right. And when you get down to the younger ones, with the younger ones are, I don't know, what's the age now, Deborah Howard? 45-ish?
6, yeah.
When you get down to the youngest of the cohort, as they call it, they don't want to. That's a 20-year difference, for crying out loud. I mean, and the oldest boomer can have a son or daughter that's still a boomer. And you know how that's going to work.
And I think that you just hit it there. You're talking about a 20-year span. I mean, that's father-daughter. It's goofy.
It is.
I have a brother that's going to turn 50 in October, on the 7th of October, and I've always referred to him as my baby brother. How in the heck did my baby brother get to be 50? But he's been a boomer right along, too, you know? It's kind of weird, because there's 8 years difference between us, or 7 years. But, the boomerdom, to me, is a state of mind that only an active and engaged baby boomer can understand or appreciate. So that's, you know, it still has to do with being active and engaged. Anybody that's on the couch, more engaged with their television than in living their life, you know, full out, is probably not going to be in boomerdom anytime soon.
Yeah, and That could be that group that had a little too much acid along the way. Oh, slap my face for saying that.
Oh, I tell you. There's a couple of songs. I'm an old hippie is one of them. I don't remember who sang it. He's an old hippie was the song, and it's a pretty funny song. You can find it on YouTube. but there's different aspects to it, and there's no doubt about it. And that's why I think Deborah's right when she says it's a state of mind. It's not a chronological thing. It's a state of mind because, frankly, there are probably some people that are 70 years old and they're living in boomerdom.
That's right. And that's
okay. But where it gets troublesome in maybe some cases is where there's a 30-year-old that's living in boomerdom. Now it may be a little more problematic. But maybe not. Who knows? Who's to say, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the other thing is you've got a radio show that's going to be part of your Boomers Are Coming offerings. Do you have any plans for that yet?
Well, I'm lining up some people right now to talk to. One of the gentlemen, and I refer to him as a young kid. He's probably 40. Put together this website called 55places.com, which is showing 55-plus communities all around the country. It's a place where people can let their fingers do their walking if they're looking to retire and move into a different area. So I want to talk to Bill because he's got some good insight into what's changing within the retirement community, even though he's a youngster, relatively speaking. So that's one. I want to also touch on this volunteer aspect because, as I said earlier, I'm finding people, some of the boomers coming in now, they're looking to be given a project. They want to be given a project that says, this is the outcome we're looking for. You have until this date to get it done so that they have free rein to get it done any way they want, when they want to get it done, but they'll get it done. And they don't want people telling them all the way. The difference in generations, too, is still something that is amazing when you think about it, how far we've come from writing a letter, to sending an email, to texting, to tweeting, et cetera, that, you know, one of our biggest clubs that's interesting here in Sun City is our computer club. And for years it's been the biggest club because our residents realized they joined for two reasons. They want to learn how to do email and they want to learn how to download pictures because they realize that if they can't do those things, they're never going to hear from their grandkids. And they're never going to see pictures of their grandchildren and great-grandchildren because who takes film anymore to send grandma a picture? So we need to keep people up on things. So those are some of the changes, too, we want to talk about within our communities. And then also the ideas on where we're going.
And where we're going is that as a community, do you think, or is that as an age demographic? What are your thoughts there, Paul?
I'm looking at it as a community. It's one of the things our recreation centers of Sun City Incorporated, and basically I make reference to them as being our Parks and Recreation Department because that's basically what they are. They have nothing to do with our homes and streets and anything else. But they're looking to this next-gen club and getting people involved in their subcommittees as far as entertainment and things. And I'll mention one on that. We have the Sun Bowl here, and in the fall and in the spring, people go out for free concerts. It's an outdoor amphitheater. For years, we get the every other year, it seems like we have the Ink Spots come out here. And not the original ones, keep in mind. But we'll also have the Air Force Band, and we have all these things, and they come back year after year after year, and we're saying we'd like to get something different. Like I said, I'm 66. I enjoy the Ink Spots, but I don't need to see them every year. So this year we had one. We had a Simon and Garfunkel tribute group come in here. Now, the interesting thing is we packed the auditorium. I personally was disappointed that we didn't have more of our boomer residents come out to see this show in the evening. If there were a dozen, let me say, younger couples there, I'll eat my shirt. But at the same time, one of my volunteers, Ann, who's been with me for years, was at the show. And when she came in to volunteer on Monday morning, I asked her what she thought of it. And she said, I thought it was fabulous. She said, now, the interesting comment she made was, I've always enjoyed Simon and Garfunkel's music. I've always enjoyed their melodies and things like that. But her comment was, it's the first time I ever listened to the lyrics. She said, they had fabulous lyrics.
My gosh.
And she said, I always liked the melody, but I never listened to the lyrics. And without the lyrics, Simon and Garfunkel wouldn't have been Simon and Garfunkel.
That's true.
So, I mean, this is one of our older residents who really enjoyed the group. So hopefully we'll be getting more groups like them in here that we can start reaching out to everybody. So, but those are type things we're looking at changing. They're also looking at getting them involved in the entertainment, getting them involved in the direction we're going with our facilities, too. So we need their input.
What was interesting, Paul, is I've been to, and Deborah and I both, as you know, have been to a couple of these next-gen meetings, and it's the diversity of ideas and opinions in that next-gen group of, what, 70 or so people? Is that absolutely amazing. I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure who's running it now has the capability, but I just don't. Reaching a consensus has got to have to be tough. They are so diverse in their opinions and ideas and thought processes. Just amazing.
Yeah, and I think that club is just kind of in its fledgling state right now, just getting off the ground. But one of the things they'll have is a website coming up in the very near future that'll make it easier. Sun City West, our neighboring community, they've got they're calling, there's a boomer club. And Sun City West, I'm looking here, they've got a population of like 31,000, and they have, their club is over 500 people right now.
Wow.
But one of the things they're doing over there, and we need to also, is to start getting people involved in what they want to be involved in. And they're
mm-hmm.
doing it through their website.
Right.
They'll have something on their website where the club is buying reserving a block of 40 tickets for a Diamondback game or something, and the first 40 people to respond get to go to that game. So now you're meeting people with like interests when you get
right.
there.
Right.
They'll do something with dining along the same lines. A new restaurant just opened up. We've got a table for 12. The first 12 people to respond get to go. So you're meeting people with those same interests. So I think that's where we have to start subdividing this diverse group, as you were talking about, so they can meet. The initial meeting, and I don't remember if you and Deborah were at that one or not, there were 130 people that showed up. And as
right.
I said, I've been at the Visitor Center now for 9 years, and there were people there that I had never seen before. So
right.
if we're doing nothing more than getting these people out of their home, so they're not just getting home from work and turning on the TV, we need to get them out more. So
right.
That's what we're looking at doing. It might be something where you say, hey, we're going to take the train ride up to the Grand Canyon on a Saturday. First 20 people to respond. Boom, you go. So
right.
I think we're getting there. It's just taking more time than we thought to get it off the ground.
Well, that diversity will be handled by doing those kinds of activities because they will find their natural settling out place.
That's right.
And they will naturally, by making the offering and letting them decide on whether or not they want to do it, that will be the settling out. And then you'll be able to tell how many you have that like this, how many you have that like that, and so on and so forth. And it'll be a great deal. And maybe somebody that doesn't want to take that train ride this time, maybe will want to take that train ride next time. And
that's right.
when you start hearing how neat it is and how much fun they had and so on and so forth. So So that'll really be nice. I think it's a great idea. I think that next gen thing is a good idea. But I was amazed. I have to say that it is a real cross section of the boomer cohort as I know it to be. They are very diverse in their opinions and everything else. Nobody talked about politics. Nobody talked about anything as touchy as that or religion. But I'm sure they're just as diverse there as they are with anything else. Everybody's going to have an opinion, and that's what makes the world go round. And that's something that the boomer cohort, as if you will, that 20-year age bracket is all about. As one of the political parties says, we have a big tent.
Boomers
have a big tent. There's no doubt about it.
Well, this whole club was kind of a brainchild of mine, and for years, when I just talked about it casually with people, I called it the pre-med club. from the standpoint, my idea was once you're on Medicare, you can't be in the club anymore. You're too old. And obviously, you can't use that because there's younger people on Medicare due to physical ailments or whatever. But that was one of the biggest contentions with, well, I don't want to age out of it. And then you're looking at a husband and wife where the wife can still be in the thing because she's 7 years younger than her husband, but her husband can't come anymore. So that's where we came up with the idea, anybody can be a member. We'll just keep the voting in the hands of the younger people. And that kind of really smoothed the waters that were really rippling big at the beginning. So you kind of work it out and things have a tendency to smooth over, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Paul, we're coming down to the end of our hour here. Why don't you give people information on how they can get hold of you, tell them when you're scheduling to do your show, and just give general information, contact information for you and the show you're going to do with us on our network, and also, let me ask you this, when are we planning on doing that book? What are we looking at, another 3 to 4 months?
I'm hoping to get it started pretty quick and maybe get it done. Yeah, we'll be done in 3 to 4 months for sure.
Okay. Hopefully then by right after the first of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That'd be great.
My program I've got scheduled, when do I have it scheduled? It's starting in October, I think it's the second Thursday in October.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
At one in the afternoon. So, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of these programs online, too. So if people miss it, they can find it on our website, which I'll mention is suncityaz.org. Once again, suncityaz.org. I've just recently put up a page there called Boomer News and Something. So if people want to go there, we're starting to put a lot of stuff together. And we've got this Dell Web survey is posted there where people can learn more about what they've come up with. And the survey I just did this past spring on Sun City residents and changing demographics here with the number of people working and our age ranges, which are changing too. That's something we really didn't hit on, but our average age here I look at as being about 73 and a half. And people say, well, with all the boomers coming, isn't it getting younger? And I say, no, if anything, we're going to get a little older. And they look at me kind of strange. And I said, well, if you were to go back to 2005, we sold, or 2,600 homes changed hands in Sun City. We have 26,000 homes. So that was 10% of our homes changed hands. If all of those people were 55 years old, which obviously they're not, it still leaves 90% of us getting a year older.
Right.
So it's not going to be changing that average by very much. In 2005 with 2,600 homes was a huge number of homes. That's not typical of what changes hands each year. And then you look at this life expectancy thing that just keeps getting longer and longer. My father passed away a couple of years ago at 93. My mother was a couple of months short of 90. So I've got a good chance of being here for a good long time.
Right.
So, I mean, those are things that could make us actually get older, and it's going to be the same thing with every community when they all kind of level out. So, but we'll be talking about some of those things on the radio program, and we've got some of those demographics, like I said, on our website. And a place for people to comment. My email address is always posted there, too, where they can get a hold of me. And I answer questions from all around the world. Like I said, we have people here from Korea and Japan. I've got a group coming in from China next month. I just had Austria here last week. So it is fun. And this is an active community, and I think it's getting more active in different ways now. So better things
to
come.
Doing more than picking up the ornamental oranges in the medians.
Yes, that's definitely for sure. And we're not nine to four. We're not rolling up the sidewalks to 6 o'clock anymore. There's
no.
A lot of activities going on in the evenings too for people. So,
well, let me just kind of throw this in as we're getting ready to wrap it up here. Also, a lot of people, fewer and fewer people are leaving as they used to. More and more people are staying here 365 days a year.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with the numbers that are continuing to work here. So
that's
if
correct.
You're working, you can't be just leaving.
That's
although
right.
there are some companies that have embraced that too.
Sure.
CVS is one of those where people can work here, and if they're going home to their home in Wisconsin, let's say, they'll actually transfer them where they can pick up their work when they get back to Wisconsin and vice versa.
That's
wow.
wonderful.
So these are changes that companies are making because they're seeing this moving demographic that they want to tap into also. Because
well,
seniors are good workers.
Yep, absolutely. And there's a lot of things going on, Paul, and I'm really very pleased that you've decided to write a book for us and that you're going to be on one of our show hosts as well as part of that operation. So we're looking forward to it. The boomers are coming, and then the name of the, you're calling the show, I think it was something about retirement.
Reinventing retirement.
Reinventing.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, reinventing. We haven't settled on that exactly yet. But nonetheless,
yeah.
It'll be always interesting as these conversations are that we have every time you've been on the show. So thanks again for being a guest on the show today, Paul. We're really glad that you were here again. And we'll be talking to you again real soon. Thanks again.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Pete. Thanks, Deborah.
Well, you've been listening to the Boomer and the Babe show here on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest has been Paul Herman of the Sun City Visitors Center, the director of the Sun City Visitors Center, and also a Blog Talk show host on the Boomer and the Babe network. And as well as that, he's going to be one of our Boomer Series book authors. We brought you that interesting conversation and information with Paul. You can listen to the Boomer and the Babe show every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, we do much more than just host this radio show on Blog Talk. We also publish those e-books that we've mentioned, publish a free online magazine. So go to www.boomerandthebabe.com, see everything that makes up the Boomer and the Babe Enterprises, and be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. Have a great day, everybody.
Boomer and the Babe show, where we bring interesting conversations to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as PeteFeeders47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.